Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy,
and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Henley, and I'm also too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I like watching scary movies, and so I watch them. Excuse me.
Hold on.
I like it so much that you could almost call it love. In fact, you could.
Oh my God, that just threw me for a fucking loop.
Maybe I'm just feeling less enthused today. Oh. No, I'm not. I'm feeling more enthused than ever because we are recording this in the morning, which in my mind.
Monday morning, excuse me.
Monday morning recording, and I have some pep in my step. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, we got that start of the week energy.
Yeah, you know how Mondays are the best days.
Monday morning zest.
Do you know what I think of? I keep thinking of morning poog. Morning poog.
I think of morning poog. Morning poog. Morning poog. Morning TSCW. That's what's happening. We've got a bit of haunted housekeeping, which is that we have a live show coming up, virtual live show, recapping Knock at the Cabin. Ever heard of it? M. Night Shyamalan, ever heard of him?
Never heard of him, but you have. If you haven't, look him up.
Also known as Night.
It will be on February 11th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. And you can get tickets at moment.co/TSDW. What else do I need to say about it? Is that everything?
That's everything. Patrons get 20% off. So if you are a patron of the podcast or would like to become one, go to patreon.com/TSW podcast to join. And then the information for getting tickets at that discounted rate will be found through your Patreon. Also, the show is happening live. You can watch it live. You can watch us recapping in real time, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, February 11th. Or if you're not available, then you can get a ticket still. And the video of that recording will be available for one whole week. So
if you can't get free on a Saturday night because you are too hot and cool out on the town, that is just fine. You can watch it on a Monday morning if you want it. Great time to take in horror movie content. You know, so just go ahead and grab those little tickies. We're very, very excited about it.
It's going to be great. It's going to be a blast. I can't wait, personally.
Personally, I can't wait.
That was almost a poem. It's going to be great. It's going to be a blast. I can't wait.
Almost. Almost a poem.
Almost a poem. It really has a nice ring to it.
So did anything scary happen to us this week on this fine Monday morning?
It's fine. The start of the week, the very first hours of our experiencing the week.
Did anything scary happen to us in the past 9.5 hours, 10 hours?
So I've been wanting to tell you guys all about this. This is huge for me. It was, I went to Costa Rica.
Sure, you went to Costa Rica. Oh, sorry, Henley's back. Look, we've already talked to her, so we forgot to make a whole to-do. But for you listeners, you're like, oh my God, it's Henley. And we get it. We feel the same freaking way. She's back. She's back.
I'm back. I'm better than ever. I'm so refreshed. vacation is wild. I can't believe I just went on one. I can't believe it's over. But I really needed to tell you guys that a full tragedy befell me while I was in Costa Rica.
Oh, no. A classic saving a full tragedy for the podcast and not telling your friends in real time. I'm familiar.
It's a very serious thing. Okay, so one night I ate a passion fruit. I think it was a passion fruit. I don't actually know. It was some kind of fruit that you open up. It's in Costa Rica. There's seeds on the inside. It's extremely tart. It's very, very tart. And then that night I went to bed and I was like, I have the worst toothache I've ever had in my life. Like, I have a terrible toothache. I was popping Advil. Uh-oh. I was spiraling in my head. Like, I'm going to have to find a dentist. And we're in a really remote area. Like, I'm going to have to go to the dentist, like, in the middle of the night. Like, I don't even know how to do that.
Yeah.
Really freaking out. Somehow went to bed.
Is there an emergency dentist? I've never thought about that.
There must be.
There
must be because people get severe pain from toothaches. Like,
but
I was researching it.
How the fuck do you do that? I would be the same way of like, what am I supposed to do?
I wouldn't even know what to do like here in the city that I live.
Yeah, exactly.
I think in LA and New York, you're fine. But if you're in a remote jungle in Costa Rica, like, I don't know how quick it is to find an emergency dentist. So I was really spiraling, researching tons about toothaches.
Costa Rican night dentists.
I have like a spot in one of my teeth where I have had issues before, and I was like, "This is it! Like, it's finally like reached the nerve, and it's so bad." So I wake up in the morning and I'm like, you know, I'm just gonna, cause it feels weird. I'm just gonna like look around in my mouth. So I shine a flashlight in my mouth. Sorry.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Where is this going?
I have and had the biggest canker sore I've ever seen on my soft palate, like in the back part of your throat, like the part you see when you open up your mouth. It was like the size of a quarter. It was huge. It
like
was
near
huge.
Your molar.
Like, you know, when you open your mouth where your larynx is, like that part, it's like right above it.
At the top.
But it was just so big and painful, you thought it was your tooth?
Yeah, it was like radiating down my entire jaw. And I couldn't like eat anything.
And the sour of the passion fruit really fucked it up.
It was the passion fruit that fucked me up.
Okay, but it seems like it was a problem before that because it didn't spontaneously become a quarter.
No. I think the passion fruit really inflamed it, like very severely. And I know that I can't eat pineapple because I know that it gives me canker sores, but I wasn't really thinking about it. And I must have already had one, a little one growing or something. But the passion fruit, you guys, it's the biggest canker sore I've ever seen. I almost wanted to take a picture and show it to you guys, but I didn't. It defied
logic. I feel like after we hear about this week's movie, you're going to wish you had. And so you could show it to Seema.
I'd take a look. I'd take a peek. I remember when I showed you guys my peeling feet.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to show somebody else what's happening on your body.
Yeah, it was severe. It was so bad. And Tim was shocked as well. Of course I showed Tim. Tim was the first person I showed. Because he was the one that had to deal with the brunt of my anxiety, being like, how are we going to find a dentist in Costa Rica? I was so relieved, though, because I was like, oh, it's just, it's not a toothache.
A better... That is case scenario than having an exposed nerve.
Yeah.
Well, you just saying that just gave me the chills.
I know. I'm sorry.
It's just like we have so many parts of our bodies that are so weird and you can't see them really and you don't know what to do about them. Like the fact that you're constantly putting things in your mouth, but if something happens to your tooth, it like totally fucks you up. It's just like an absolute design flaw. Like what is
that? It's a design flaw. It's a design flaw. I love the idea of anyone like opening up this podcast who's never listened before and just being like, I guess these girls just talk about their bodies, body parts.
We do talk about our bodies a
like
lot.
A lot.
Look, we're at the age where things are just getting harder.
Slowly starting to break down.
It's just like, it's crazy that we have bodies. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. If you don't think it's crazy, blessings to you, because
we got some body horror coming up. So stay tuned.
Oh, God, that's true. It is appropriate timing. But I just like it's just like, what is this thing that we just have?
I know, we're so fragile.
And it like is supposed to do certain things and not supposed to do other things. Sorry, now I'm spiraling because like, I'm literally looking at my hands and being like, and there's nails at the end of my fingers.
Oh, no.
Like, it's so weird.
It's pretty weird.
Morning podcast.
It's pretty
morning
weird.
Morning, TSDW. This
is wowee.
What happens?
Well, I'm glad you were okay, and I'm sorry you held that stress in and kept it from your friends.
Is your mouth, is it healed?
It's not completely healed, but it's a lot better than it was. Yeah. Mm. It's it's going to be a 2-weeker, I think, situation.
Those are tough.
Ouch. I get them a lot, so I've never had one in this location
probably
before,
stress
though.
Stress and...
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I actually, maybe in sympathy, solidarity, I bit myself while I was sleeping.
Oh, you did. You did do that.
To the point that I woke up with blood on my face and on my pillow.
Which is how you told us that before you said you bit yourself. You said, I woke up to blood on my face and on my pillow.
Well, because that's how I experienced it. I wanted you to experience what I experienced, which is the first thought of... Did I do vampire stuff in the night?
Did I do vampire stuff? My first thought was a cat bled onto you, which is my first fear if I were to wake up in that.
Not a cat bit you? A
no,
cat bled
just like
on
nasty
you.
And came Ew. Over to me and bled on me.
Oh, God. No, that didn't cross my mind.
Okay, well.
But another nighttime scare that did actually happen to me last night, so was this week.
Great.
Probably. Which is that I had a dream that I was on the Titanic.
Oh my God, Sammy!
Oh my God.
She's talking about Titanic again. And I'm honestly surprised that it's taken this long for me to have this dream of just like firsthand experience of what it feels like to be on the Titanic as it's sinking.
Oh God. Terrifying. Oh my God. Oh my God.
It was so scary, you guys. It was so scary.
Tell us more. Were you like in, were you in the like lower levels with water rising?
Were you rich,
or were you kind of like clinging? Were you clinging onto the side?
Not to brag, but I think I was kind of higher up. But I did look out the little porthole window. Porthole and see that it was completely submerged when it wasn't supposed to be. And so I like panicked and started running up as the halls were like filling with water. But there was some difference. Like it wasn't exactly the Titanic because I remember thinking at least the water is not freezing cold. Mm. So if I can like get out to the water, I can maybe survive. And I did get out to the water, but then I had the thought as the boat was like sinking next to me that it's going to create such an extreme pull.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
As it sinks, like the
you're gonna
current
get, like, whirlpooled.
That I'm going to get like whirlpooled into it. So I like started panicking, like I need to swim as far away from it as possible so I don't get sucked under with it. It was really scary.
That is so scary. Oh my God.
What a terrifying dream. Was it a relief to wake up?
It was a relief to wake up, and you won't believe it, but I was wearing my Titanic shirt.
I thought my
I just don't know. I just don't know if this is going to make me rethink anything or if I'm still going to spend a lot of my time thinking and talking and watching Titanic. The 25th anniversary is coming up. We just got tickets to see it in theaters. In 3D.
No, I don't want to do that. Wait, and that'll be your first time, Emily.
It'll be my first time.
You're going to see it on the big screen.
I'm going to see it on the big screen.
That's how it was meant to be seen.
Yeah, it's how Cameron intended. And I love to do things the way James Cameron intended.
You get to see the Kate Winslet sweaty hand.
Oh, that part I've seen. Come on now.
Oh, okay.
I've seen that part. Pretty excited about it, though. It'll be great.
I now also, when I think about the Titanic, I've linked it to King Princess in my head.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Because of her ancestry. A musician
I like, whose great-grandfather died on the Titanic. And I don't know, it was in that Variety Nepo Baby article.
So
and
it funny. Just
made me laugh that cat they made categorized her as a Nepo baby because her great-grandfather died on the Titanic. Oh my God. He does own Macy's. He's a rich man.
That's why. They're not just talking about anybody
but
who died on the Titanic.
They just threw that fact in there as if it was relevant. And I'm glad they did because I'm glad to know it.
Yeah. More Titanic facts for that.
For freaking Titanic
for
head.
For your little brain, yeah.
For vessel head. what about you, Emily?
I mean, nothing huge in the last 9 hours. I did have a very hard time falling asleep, and it was one of those nights where it's like I did everything right, and that's when I really get mad when I can't fall asleep because it's like, well, then what the fuck else am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
But, you know, that was just having a body, baby. But I was going to say, you guys know this, we finally fucking watched Severance.
And
and basically in like 1 week, we watched all of it because it's so good. I mean, we couldn't get Apple TV on our main TV because it's a fucking like Android TV and they didn't want us to have Apple TV. But a friend of ours told us we could try to get it on our PlayStation and that worked.
Oh.
And so don't tell Apple, but don't tell
Android.
Android. Google, mm-hmm. Bill Gates. I don't know. Don't tell him. But so we finally were able to watch it and it's so fucking good. And I can't stop thinking about it. I play the final shot in my head over and over and over and over again. It's so good. But it made me realize Joel and I were both like, man, we really need to when there's a show that everybody's fucking talking about and is obsessed with, we got to watch it. We need
to
do better.
It's true. Cause I've basically forgotten all of Severance now. So I can't.
Yeah. Well, and it's also just like, you know,
we can't chat as much.
There's
about
a reason,
it as
you know, there's a reason.
Passionately.
Well, everyone's watching it. You got to watch it. So the thing that's happening now that we realize that's the case for is The Last of Us. So we started watching The Last of Us. Guys, it's so scary.
I know. I've only seen the first
episode. It's really scary. Me too. And it's really upsetting and it's like gonna get worse. And so that's on the one hand, I'm like, well, fuck. I have to do this now. And then also, it's episode 3 came out last night. We've only watched episode 1. It's already happening again. I'm behind. People are talking about it. I'm seeing pictures from episode 3 and I'm like, well, now I know. And it's like, man, it's just too hard to keep up. It's too hard to keep up.
I put HBO as number 1. I'd feel like I would have. Yeah. I'm on that. Day of you watch that shit live. You watch that shit live.
Well, I even like last night. I was guys. Can you believe I was doing homework until 11 o'clock? And so I had the thought that we would maybe watch both. We'd watch 2 and then we'd watch 3 and we'd be caught up. I didn't even. We still haven't watched 2. And it's like, well, I've already seen a bunch of pictures from episode 3. So I know like some people who are in it. I know some key words about it. And it's just what a task. To keep up with television and the internet. It's overwhelming.
Well, I stopped doing my top 10 TV list because I find
too many
really hard to keep up with. But that said, there's a handful of shows that are out and like coming out. It's like Succession, Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, I mean, Succession I'll watch moment of. I'm not crazy. But that's pretty much the only one that I can like, that I like am good about keeping up with as it actually comes out.
Yeah.
Oh boy, oh boy. And I want to try to watch season one of Yellow Jackets before season two comes out. I'm like, good fucking luck.
You haven't seen season one yet? Oh no, that's too many. It's too many shows.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, Tim has a thing where he likes to like bank shows so we can, you know, binge them more. And he's been saying that for The Last of Us. He keeps being like, well, don't we want to like wait for more to come out so we can like watch a couple in a row? And I think that he's using this as an excuse. I really think
to like
this
not
is deterrent.
Have to watch it. Yeah.
100%. And Tim, if you're listening to you, I am fucking on to you.
Tim, we're on to you.
I know what's happening because I want to watch it. And I keep bringing it up every night. I'm like, can we watch Last of Us? And he's like, oh, so we can wait until, you know, another one.
Well, also, I feel like last night's was 90 minutes. So.
And watching a few in a row is also like really a lot to sit through. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like a fun 2 hours.
I know.
Last night's was 90 minutes. I thought you told me the rest of them were going to be short.
I thought they were.
I thought you told me.
I thought they were. I really thought they were. Episode two is shorter, but. Yeah, episode three was another movie length one. So
what are they doing to us?
It's too much content. It's too much.
Oh my God. Speaking of content, We've got more.
We've got more.
And we're eating it up. I'm freaking loving it. I'm gobbling it down.
Gobble, gobble.
This week's movie is Infinity Pool. In theaters now. The new film written and directed by Brandon Cronenberg, starring Mia Goth, Alexander Skarsgård, and Cleopatra Coleman. And ooh, baby, we've been excited for this one.
I'm so excited. I told you guys this already, but I watched the trailer for this and was so deeply disturbed that I had to watch Lizzo day drinking with Seth Meyers afterwards, which was one of my favorite videos of the year. And so I have to thank the Infinity Pool trailer for leading me to it.
Wait, I want to throw in also, I think I sent you guys a video of...
Oh, yeah.
Tom Holland on lip sync battle, and just want to toss that into the pool of things to make you feel a little better if you're feeling
good. It's really good.
A good little palate cleanser to add to the playlist.
It's very funny to be
impressive.
Like this video that happened 5 years ago of a thing that I bet everybody knows about by now.
Seen
like,
it or heard of it.
I know. And like, I'm not a big Holland head, and I never really have understood it. And as you said, when you sent us the video, you were like, oh, I get it now. Makes sense.
Yeah.
It all makes sense. Mm-hmm. And you
it
were right.
It clicked.
I didn't realize he could dance. He can like really dance.
He's a great dancer.
He's a really good dancer. Really, really good.
Oh,
I think
my
he
God.
Wasn't he a dancer? Actually, I think he was like a ballerina. I'm pretty sure.
Wait, I think I knew that.
That makes sense.
Okay, I guess I love him. I'm a Holland head.
You're a Holland head now.
Okay. Infinity Pool. We got to do it.
We got to do it. It has a 88% on Rotten Tomatoes, 72% on Metacritic, 6.9 on IMDb. Nice.
Nice.
Fuck yeah. For this movie, it's perfect too. I couldn't find the budget, but so far it's made $2.7 million. And like Possessor, his previous film, the theatrical cut had to cut things out to make it R and not NC-17.
Oh, wow. Okay. You want to see the NC-17 cut, obviously.
Of course I do, but luckily I was able to figure out, I think, most of what got cut out. So I'll call it out as we go through the recap.
Ooh.
I really wish that they would play the NC-17 version like on more limited screens.
Right.
Like you can play both. Why not both? Why not give us
the
option?
Have it. You clearly have it.
Are you allowed to show NC-17 in theaters?
I mean, maybe
like,
not. Maybe that's
literally
why.
Literally no idea.
I just feel like I never see it.
I feel like people don't just because it's not lucrative.
Because you can't make money. Mm. Yeah.
But I think it kind of still would have been for this movie. Like the same people are going to go.
What was David Cronenberg's last movie that he put out? Is he still putting out movies or is it mostly?
Yes, he did Crimes of the Future last year.
Okay. That was him. Because when you said Possessor, I was like, oh, have we only done Brandon Cronenberg late? Okay, no, now. They're both doing it.
They're both doing it. They're both freaking knocking it out of the park. We love the Cronenbergs. Brandon Cronenberg, favorite Nepo baby.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Alexander Skarsgård's up there as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Yeah. Look, I love them all. Why choose?
I really love them all. Why? Don't make me choose.
Don't make me choose. Don't make me choose.
Okay, so are you ready to watch this trailer, even though last time you needed a palate cleanser and you're not going to get one this time?
My palate cleanser
you're not going to get it.
Seeing your beautiful faces.
That's true. You didn't have us last time.
My palate cleanser is to hear the full recap.
I don't understand why we're doing this. We barely know these people.
It's one day. Let's mix things up a bit.
You're just happy you found your fan club. I've been waiting 6 years for your second book. Is it coming out soon?
I'm working on it.
What do you do for money then?
You married rich.
I actually came here looking for inspiration.
Mr. James Foster, you'll have to come with us.
Here, the punishment for any crime committed is death.
What? What did you say?
But for a significant sum, we'll build a double to send in for your execution.
Double?
Maybe think of it as a gift. It's like a new skin working into place. For you to complete your transformation.
This is just a little game.
But I can take some blood.
Yeah!
Show me how strong you are.
It's really disgusting. You could just sit there and watch it happen.
Horrible. Horrible.
Oh my God. I've never seen that full trailer. Holy shit.
Horrible.
What?
Sammy.
What?
That was... Doesn't it just make you never want to go on vacation again?
No, it didn't
that's
do that
true.
For me.
It's like an interesting timing for you.
I know.
It's just kind of roasting tourists. So we'll have to see how we feel at the end.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Also, oh my God, Mia Goth. Like,
she's wonderful.
She's so
I
good.
I could look at her all day.
I know. She's magnetic.
Absolutely unhinged. I love it so much. I feel like everybody came to this movie just like ready to, they're like, all right, let's fucking do it. Let's go for
oh my God,
it.
I'm so excited. I love Skarsgård too. And I just have to say that after this trailer played, you know how you get little like suggested YouTube clips. Anyway, a bunch of mine were like, Severance, this scene, look a clue, because I just fucking talked about it and that's scary.
All of mine are like Bill Hader's funniest moments, Bill Hader's top 100 funny moments. Like, YouTube just wants me to watch like super clips. What are they called? Supercuts of Bill Hader.
There was
the
a time when I didn't have the Twitter app on my phone, so I had to type in Twitter to Safari or whatever, the browser, and just the default thing was the Twitter search page of Bill Hader. That was like my landing page. So like every time I went to Twitter, I would just see whatever the latest on Bill Hader was.
The updates. It's important to know.
Yeah. Oh my God, this movie. What the fuck?
It got really hyped of like all of the like that is just fucking crazy. And it is very crazy. I think it could have been crazier, but that's just a testament to how fucked my barometer is, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How long is it?
I think it's long. Yeah, I think it's almost 2 hours, but it went by quick. I mean, it's not boring.
I believe it. It's in a pretty beautiful location. Everyone is beautiful.
Filmed in Croatia. It is beautiful.
Okay, is that why someone was throwing out Croatia as an option for where we could go if we go on a trip? Was someone inspired a little bit too much by Infinity Pool?
That wasn't me. That was Jenna.
I am not Jenna? Interested in going to Croatia. This is Croatia. Is she trying to trick us into...
It's not going to make us feel bad about Croatia. It's going to make us feel bad about ourselves.
Okay.
Cool. The tourists. Great.
The tourists.
Are the bad ones.
Oh, okay. I need to...
You know that scene in horror movies where someone's alone at home, cooking or whatever, watching TV, and a killer is outside watching them through their huge, open, enormous, completely clear windows that for some reason have no blinds or coverings on them whatsoever? Don't let that be you. You need privacy. You need 3-day blinds. They are the leading manufacturer of custom window treatments in the U.S., and right now they are running a buy one, get one 50% off deal. Just set up an appointment and you'll get a free, no obligation quote the same day. And if you're not very handy, that's not a problem, because the expert team at 3-Day Blinds handles all the heavy lifting. They design, measure, and install, so you can sit back, relax, and leave it to the pros. I feel like sometimes when you hear the word blinds, you might be thinking of broken, loud, dirty dorm room blinds, but I was just looking at 3-Day Blinds' Instagram, and I can assure you that is not what we are talking about here. These are good-looking blinds, shades, shutters, etc. They have thousands of options for any budget or style, no matter your unique need, whether it's motorization to home automation, room darkening, or child safety. They're going to have something that's going to look gorgeous in your home, and it's going to keep those prying eyes away so you don't have to live in your very own horror movie. Right now, you can get 3-Day Blinds buy one, get one 50% off deal on custom blinds, shades, shutters, and drapery. For a free, no charge, no obligation consultation, just head to 3dayblinds.com/too scary. That's buy one, get one 50% off when you head to 3dayblinds.com/too scary. One last time, that's the number 3daiblinds.com/too scary.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Know everything.
Oh my God. Yeah, let's just fucking go.
Let's do it.
Okay, so I will start with the disclaimer that I saw this in theaters this weekend. So there might be some inaccuracies, but I'll do my best. We start out with our main character, James, Alexander Skarsgård, and his wife, M, who's played by Cleopatra Coleman. They're at a fancy-ass resort in the fictional country of Latolka, but it was filmed in Croatia, but it's kind of just a stand-in for any place that rich people go to vacation, and like the country's economy depends on tourism, and there's just like a stark contrast between very rich people and the locals. There's a line where there's like these big sweeping shots where the camera is rotating like 180 degrees upside down that are just like these really cool shots of the resort that I kind of wish we got a little more of that, that visual language. I liked it a lot. But they're sitting down to breakfast at the resort, and James says, "Where are we?" And M says, "This was your idea." We find out he is an author and he's been struggling to write his next book, and he's here for inspiration. She says we see that there's a festival happening at the place right now. There's some tradition because the rainy season is approaching. They do this festival where they wear these scary ass masks. The masks come in immediately. I was surprised.
Oh, okay. Yeah, me too. Okay. I kind of like that. I thought that was a climactic point.
Right. No, they're like part of this ceremony and something that they do, something to call in the rainy season. And so they're doing this little performance during breakfast with the guests of the resort watching. And after breakfast, M heads to into like this part of town. The resort is mostly fenced in, like high, like impenetrable fences, but there's some place she can get to that James doesn't really want to go to. He's going to focus on, I don't know, writing, I guess. And so she goes by herself and leaves him there. And as he's walking out to the beach, there's a guy on an ATV that comes and is like spinning, doing wheelies basically, and like spraying sand at all of the guests. And it's causing this big ruckus. And the people that work at the hotel are running out to get this guy out of here. And Mia Goth walks up to James as he's witnesses, like watching this, thinking, what the hell's going on? And she says, he's trying to make a statement. He's making a statement, which is so funny. So this is, I feel like, the closest we've gotten to Mia Goth's real voice. This is still not Mia Goth's real voice.
I was going to ask that. I was like, what is her real voice? Because I was thinking that the entire trailer, what does she actually sound like normally when she's talking day to day?
She sounds like really British and like door-like and... like a little ghost. She's a little British
she's a ghost.
Ghost.
She's a little British ghost.
She's a little British ghost. It's like so alarmingly cute.
Weird.
That's yeah, kind of it's like weird.
Unsettling almost.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah, she has a bit of a baby voice. And so she's taken it like octave. Mm-hmm. Octavia Spencer.
Is she in this too?
I got Ma on the mind. She's like taking it an octave down. So it's close to her real voice, but not quite. And she tells James that this guy is trying to make a statement, doesn't like the tourists, and if he had his way, he would stab a knife through your throat and hang you in front of the public square or something like that. And James obviously sees that Gabby is stunning and gorgeous and is like, oh my God, who is this woman talking to me? And immediately starts kind of flirting back with her. They have instant chemistry. And Gabby reveals, I loved your book. And he looks very surprised by this. And she says, I'm so sorry. Like, is this so gauche? I'm embarrassed. But like, I just have to say, like, I'm a huge fan of your book. I was so surprised to see you here. And he says, you know, nobody's read my book. That's so crazy. And he's immediately like so flattered and even more smitten.
Easy target.
Yeah. And so her husband walks up. Her husband's name is Albin. And she says, oh, this is the author I like. Remember that book I read and I loved so much? And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. She talked about that book for a long time. She's a big fan. She says, please come and have dinner with us. You and your wife, come have dinner with us tonight. So.
Oh, boy.
We see the four of them having dinner. And again, Gabby is just being so effusive about this book. Like, I've been waiting 6 years for your next one. Are you close? And he says, yeah, I mean, maybe close. And his wife kind of scoffs and she says, no, he hasn't really started it yet.
Yeah.
Albin asks, how do you make money like in the past 6 years? And M says he married rich and laughs again. And so there's this little kind of digs happening, but it's subtle. I mean, I don't know, whatever. So, but Gabby is like staring at James, like she just wants to fuck him right there on the table.
Oh,
she's like, oh my God, the looks she is giving him. And he is liking it. He is taking these looks in. And the next day, we see that they are going outside of the compound with Gabby and Albin. And M says, why are we doing this? Like, we don't really know these people. We just met them. And he says this, like, we're on vacation. That's like what you do. You like meet people and go and explore and do new things. And M says, I don't know if we should do this. I know it's not their fault, but this is a poor country and it's dangerous and they target tourists. And James says Gabby and Albin come here every year. We have found out that they do this year after year. And so he's like, they wouldn't take us someplace that wasn't safe. Like, they know what they're doing. So they decide to go. Someone at the resort lends them a car. The four of them drive out to this beautiful beach. And as they pull up to park, we see two other cars parked there, abandoned and like burned. The basically shells of cars. A little unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't even pay attention to that at all. Walk right by it, go and set up their picnic. M is saying to James, you know, you're just happy you found your little fan club. Mm-hmm. Like, she can very much see that Gabby is just fawning over James. And the four of them are talking. Albin asks M what attracted her to James. And she says, the fact that he's the opposite of my dad. And we find out her dad works at a publishing agency, and he told her never to marry a writer. And
oh, like the literal opposite. Yeah. Job wise.
Yeah. And so she's like, I just did it to piss off my dad. And Albin laughs and is like, be serious. And James is like, she is being serious.
Oh my God. Ooh. That sucks.
God.
Wait, they've been together 10 years, and there is like, something nice between them as well. It's like not all horrible. Like, right. There is some amount of sweetness, but also like some, I think, resentment after the 10 years of them being together. Like, they kind of say things they shouldn't say to each other. And yeah.
The actor who's Albin, that's Dexter's dad, right? That's the guy. He's also in Blackcoat's Daughter as the dad. I can't.
Oh,
let me look.
That's who I thought it was in the trailer. Now I feel like I should look it up.
I don't think that it is.
Oh,
but
is it not?
Maybe.
Quite a bit older than me.
I was going to say, it's like a big age difference.
These movies, but
if that's true.
Oh my God. I forgot Alexander Skarsgård's photo on IMDb is him in a suit jacket with no pants on. Everybody go look that up. It's so funny. Why is this his IMDb picture?
Oh, it's not. It's not. It's not. Ignore me.
On the red carpet, pantsless.
It's not him.
When did he do that?
He's kind of a scary face.
I can't remember, but I love him. I love him for doing it.
But I love him.
Albin is Jaleel Lespert, who does not actually look like Dexter's dad whatsoever. He has a completely different lower half of his face.
It was a trailer trick.
Mm-hmm. Okay, ignore me.
Okay, so then we see James goes to pee like in the bushes somewhere, and Gabby sneaks up behind him and wordlessly gives him a hand job.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And it's real quick. He comes very fast. We see the cum hitting the rocks below.
Sure.
And this is where the NC-17 cut differs. And I'm very pissed off about it, is you get a fucking full frontal ejaculation shot.
Oh my God. Just let us see it.
Let us see it. I think the director's cut will be released similar to Possessor, like on VOD. So who's to say if it's Alexander Skarsgård's dick? I kind of wouldn't be surprised either way, because like I said, I feel like everybody came like prepared to fucking go places they've never gone before.
Whoa.
Damn.
Yeah. So they have that moment together. Everybody's getting pretty drunk and they spend the whole day at the beach, and it's nighttime now and it's time to go back to the hotel. Albin is now too drunk to drive, and James is a little less drunk. He says, I'm good. And so basically everybody falls asleep in the car except James, who's driving, and he's kind of drifting off, and the headlights are like going on and off a bit, like the bulb is dying, and the lights come back on, and a man is crossing the road in front of him, and he hits one of the hits and kills a presumably a local man that lives in the area. And everybody is obviously completely freaking out, but Gabby and Albin immediately take charge, and they're like, we cannot go to prison here. the Latolkin police are animals. Like, they will rape M, and
holy
it's
shit.
It's gonna be like horrible. You guys will basically go missing. No one is ever gonna hear from you again. We need to leave the body. As you know, James is like saying, like, oh, like, we need to call the police, we need help, like an ambulance. And she's like, nope, we're leaving the fucking body. Get back in the car. We're going back to the compound right now. You go to your rooms and you go to bed. You don't tell anybody what just happened. And just the authority with which they are speaking mm-hmm. convinces, I think it would, right? In a moment of such complete panic. Shock, you would just be wishing for somebody to tell you what the fuck to do. Mm-hmm. And so they do what she says. They go back to the resort and have to go back to the gate where they were let out, and they almost don't let them back in. They're clearly very upset that these tourists have gone outside of the facility, but they do let them back in.
I mean, presumably the car is showing signs of having hit
someone. They ditched the car somewhere.
Aha. Okay.
And they walk up on foot.
Aha.
But the car is nearby. But yes, the car is windshield smashed. And so, yeah, they ditch it. And they go in and they go to bed and they're super freaked out. I don't think they sleep. We just see them like laying in bed looking completely terrified. Mm. And the next morning there's a knock at the door and the police arrive and take in James and M. They say, you have to come with us. As they get to the police station, they separate them. And so they're like calling out to each other, like, no, we stay together. We stay together. They're not listening. They take James to one room, M to another room. A cop sits down with James and says that Gabby and Albin told him everything.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And he says, I know that my uncle lent you guys the car, but would you please say that you stole it? Because my uncle will get in trouble. And James looks so confused and doesn't know what to do. He has no idea what's going on.
Oh my
He's
God.
So scared. And he's like, what does that change for me if I say I stole it? He says, it doesn't change anything for you. Yes. All it does is protect my uncle.
No, no.
And he's like, okay,
no,
I'll do it. And
he says,
your wife already confirmed that you and her stole this car and just the two of you like drove out and killed this tourist. And he says the punishment for that crime is death.
Oh my God.
And the way that you'll die is you're going to be killed by the firstborn son of the man that you killed.
What?
Or someone can be chosen by the family. But luckily he does have sons. He does have sons. So there is a firstborn son to kill you. And I should say that the tone of this is comedic, like at times. Okay. It's so ridiculous. And it's, yeah, there's, you're laughing a little bit at just how crazy this is. And he's acting like it's so normal. He's like, don't worry. He does have a firstborn son to kill you. And he says, part of our tourism initiative here in Latolka, we have a program where you have an option to buy a body double that can die in your place. But he says, but part of the condition of that is that the double has to have all of your memories so that it feels like they're actually dying for what the crime you've committed.
Oh man, that's not going to end well.
And so he agrees to this. He like makes him sign this page. He's like, it's this or you die. Like, either you sign this to make this double or you're going to get executed right now. So he signs, goes into the ATM, gets a big stack of cash to pay them, and they strip him naked and put one of those things in his mouth that's like a cheek spreader type thing.
That yes, I was in the trailer. Teeth.
Yeah, and those things are just so funny. Isn't there like a whole board game where you have to put one of those in your mouth and talk with it in?
Oh,
they're just very silly looking things.
Oh, I do feel like that's something, yeah.
Yeah. And so he just has these big wide eyes and his mouth is like completely open thing as they're leading him into this room where he's going to somehow get cloned doesn't know the process of how that, what that entails. And so he just goes and steps in this big vat of goo, like reddish brown goo. It's about like shin height. And he's just looking around and they're panicking. They just close him in that room by himself. We don't know what the fuck is going to happen. And then it goes into this almost hallucinatory sequence, which is very Brandon Cronenberg-y. It's like the similar to the scenes in Possessor where you're changing bodies. It just is all these flashes of images like him at different times and really like bright neon colors. It's all very abstract. There was actually a epilepsy warning at the beginning of the film that I don't know that I've ever seen that before. I feel like I've seen it on TV shows and not movies for some reason.
Same. But,
which feels like it'd be more likely to happen in a movie theater than on a TV screen. I don't know. I mean, I guess I have no idea, but yeah, so it's like a very trippy scene. And we see afterwards that it has been successful. He has this double. Him and M are reunited and they go and look at the double. They're like, just, it's like crazy. He looks just like you. There's a little jump scare where the double kind of wakes up and gasps while he's right in his face looking at him. And they take the double and string him up basically in this execution room. He's wearing a gown with an opening in his belly, like a circular opening.
No.
And he looks really scared. And we're the audience, of course, being trying to figure out if they've gotten switched. Is this the right one? Because they look exactly the same. Yeah. And they both just look really scared and in shock. And so...
Oh, God.
And he does call out. He's like, no, please, no. As we see a basically, I think, like 12-year-old boy
come in
with a knife.
His firstborn son.
And he comes in and he stabs him a whole bunch of times in the belly.
Oh, no.
So that the double dies and we pan to basically like bleachers where people are watching and it's the rest of the family of the man who was killed and M and James watching this execution. And M is burying her face in his arms and like crying and looking so disturbed. And we see he very slightly smacks the corners of his lips.
No, it's the double. It's the double.
Turn up.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, my God.
So we cut back to the hotel. Oh, no. First, after this, there's a scene of the cop that was interrogating him earlier, handing him an urn and saying, think of it as a souvenir. And so he carries this urn back to the hotel with him. M goes straight to packing up their suitcases. We got to get the fuck out of here. He's still looking dazed. He sets his urn on like the table and he starts to pack up as well, but then looks at her and says, fuck, like my passport's gone. I always put my passport in this pocket. Where's my passport? Can't find it. He says, I'll go to the front desk. I'll ask them if they've seen it. So she stays and he goes to the front desk and he extends his stay for another week. He says, is my room still available? I'll add another week on M's card.
And so we're thinking, we're like certain this is the double at this point.
Actually, no, I feel like
it's like it could be the double or it could be that he's like,
I read it more that he was kind
of his crimes.
Yeah. He was realizing he got away with something. But I think
I like that it is unclear that it could be.
There's a lot of that uncertainty in here. And
will we ever
know?
I think
that's part of the point is.
Yeah. Okay. Because also
does it matter?
Doesn't matter. And this person, this double, has his body and memory. So like it is just like he's being copied. It doesn't really matter.
Right. Ugh. So we see after he extends his stay, he sees Gabby at a table in the lobby smiling at him. And she pulls him over and says, please, like, give me a chance to explain. And they sit down for a conversation that is backlit. So they're silhouetted and it's super, super close up. There's a lot of extreme close ups in this movie where it'll be like just their lips talking or just their eyes as they're speaking to each other in profile. It's very cool. And she basically tells him that what happened to him happened to them years ago. They had made this discovery. And she says, think of it as a gift, this new skin you have. She says the first day is always the weirdest, but you'll get used to it. And I can see in your eyes that you like it, like you're special, like me, you like it, like me. And she says the first time it happened to us, we were here however many years ago. Albin's an architect. And she says he was installing an infinity pool in the resort and a pane of glass fell since he was in charge of the construction, it fell and it killed two people and we both got sentenced to death. I think the punishment for any crime in this country is death.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first time it happened to them. And she seems to be excited about that. He's part of a club now, that this isn't something to be upset about. This is a good thing.
Cause what the implication is that she said your new skin. So we can imply from that he either is the double and she's the double too. And she's kind of like, you're in on it.
Well, cause I think we're all doubles. Interesting about this is it's not a double like in us. It's like, it's literally you. Cause they took all your memories and made a new skin suit basically, and so maybe the old more skin about suit like, died and his brand new like made in the goop skin.
I was kind of thinking of it as like layers of humanity getting peeled away, which is similar to in Possessor. If you remember Andrea Riseborough, every time she goes into a different person, like part of her dies. Mm-hmm. And at the like, that's kind of the end of Possessor, is like she's losing a bit of her empathy and humanity each time and becoming like more and more of a shell of herself. So I think it's more that
it's like you're reborn.
They like this loss of consequences, first of all, and how that then
frees them to just like be as kind of like evil or as like not unempathetic as they want to.
Yeah, it's basically just like rich people realizing they rules don't apply to them. And like, how exciting is that?
Got it.
Can do whatever the fuck we want. So we see James goes back to the room. M is asking, you know, where's the passport? He's like, I didn't find it, but I understand if you want to leave without me. I will follow as soon as I find it. And so M leaves. And he's being kind of rude to her. He's being kind of a dick. And he's like, I don't know what you want me to do. Like, I don't have my passport. So bye, in a like very unnecessary way. And so they don't leave on the best of terms. Like, she's obviously pissed at him. And after she leaves, James goes out to the beach and Gabby comes and sits with him. And they're having this conversation. She's like, oh, where did M go? He says she left, and she says it's maybe for the best. Like, women like M convince men like you that you're weak, and that can take a lot of conditioning to undo. Sometimes it takes spilling some blood.
Oh,
and he kind of laughs,
God,
like thinking this is a joke. It's like, well, I don't know about that. She's looking at him like, we're gonna get you strong again.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, and they kiss here, and then I might be missing a scene, I don't remember, but then he goes with Gabby to meet some of her other friends. She tells him that we've made some other, like met other people like us over the years, and we have some more friends. So she takes him into her and Albin's hotel room, and there's four other people there, two other couples there, other rich couples that they're all just kind of caricatures of rich people, just so like all dressed so fancy and laughing and like just radiating rich asshole energy. I don't know how else to describe it, but they're all like fascinated by James now, like a new one. They're like, how do you feel? How do you feel? I remember my first time. Oh my God. And one of them is writing a book and he's like, James, do you get scared that they got the wrong you, that you're not you anymore? And he's like, I obsessed over that when it went at my first time. I couldn't bear the thought of it being the wrong me. And his wife is like, oh, stop it. Like, it doesn't matter. Who cares? That's what mm-hmm. I always say. Who doesn't matter?
Oh, my God.
Like, he's like, but we'll never know. And she's like, exactly. So who gives a shit? So they tell him that they have a plan for the night, which is they're going to go commit some crimes. And I can't actually remember who this person is, but I think it is somebody that works for the hotel that, they're mad at, maybe whoever ratted them out for the accident. I don't know. I had a hard time telling who it is because basically they like put bags on their heads when they go and hurt somebody. So it's like, I don't know who this is, but they go to some guy's house and break in, and the guy has all of the masks at his house. So it must be, he must also be in charge of coordinating that event. And so they all find the masks and put on the masks, and they're dancing around like gleefully, like how exciting, we get to just commit crimes and nobody can stop us. And so they go and bust into the guy's room. He's having sex with two ladies, and they bring them all out on dog leashes into the living room. And they have a gun, and they're holding a gun to his head. And Gabby gives James this kind of daring look, like hands him the gun. It's like, have you ever shot a gun before? And he's looking scared, but also like he wants to impress her and like what's happening. Oh, and maybe he's losing a little bit of his humanity as well. We're not sure. Maybe he is having a good time, but he doesn't pull the trigger, but they like hold it to this person's head for a long time. And she's just staring at him basically with this look like, do it, do it, do it. Like, I'd be so hot for you if you did it. She's like horny for all of this too.
Oh my God.
Of course.
Nuts.
But then there's another guy in the house that they didn't know about that comes out. He has a gun. He starts shooting at them. He shoots Albin in the leg. And then there's just like a gunfight, bullets flying. One of the women, naked women, gets shot and dies. And they all run out. Basically hard cuts to them in their like prison gowns, the same ones we saw James in as he was getting cloned the first time. And they're all laughing like, oh, what an absolute riot we had last night. Like, we're going to get executed again.
Whoa, what the hell?
And the cop walks in and goes, this time, like, you guys have done this so many times and you've taken it too far. This time it's for real. Like, we're not doing that again. And takes them all out into the execution room and basically cuffs them to these little stumps. So they're each going to get their throats slit this time. And James is able to break away, and he's like fighting one of the guards and seems like he's going to get away. But then the guards slit his throat.
What?
And then in rapid succession, all the rest of them all get their throats slit, all die. Camera pans to the audience, and we see all of them there watching, cheering, having a good time. Okay. Oh my God. Which is like, it's a little trick by the director, but also, like, why would they do that to the clones? Like, it's just a mean thing to be like.
I guess they're not trying to not be mean. They like love to be mean.
But it wasn't them. It was like the cops that did it, being like, this time we're going to kill you for real. It's like,
maybe
why would
they
you say
thought
that?
It would like instill more. I don't know.
It's a fun scene, though. I mean, I get why they would do it. Yeah. It's in this fun little surprise.
Yeah.
But so then they go back to doing all their bad shit that they like to do. There's have a party one night where Gabby gives James this hallucinogenic aphrodisiac drug, some sort of local like plant thing that they inhale the smoke of. And boy, oh boy, do we get an orgy scene.
Oh my gosh. Drug scenes in these types of movies really scare me. I don't know.
Hallucinogenic orgy scene that's really graphic. I think some of this is cut down from the NC-17 sure. version. You like see penetration. You see penetration from the inside at some point.
Oh my God.
You see nipples hardening to like way harder, or I mean way longer than normal nipples. And there's like a part where the nipple is like 3 inches, 4 inches long. Really shocking stuff. Really, really interesting to watch sitting squeezed between two strangers in a movie theater.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, did you see that? That nipple was huge.
It was really long. 3-4 inches.
Really long nipple. And it's a long scene. It's like minutes long of just this very, hallucinatory orgy scene. But, I mean, it was great. I liked it. And it hard cuts again to the next morning. And James is taking handfuls of maraschino cherries and putting them in his mouth. All the like sugary goo is dripping down his chin. Gross. And he's shooting them like spitball style at other guests at the breakfast buffet. They are just completely
just lawless,
unbound by any type of rules. They're doing whatever the fuck they want. They're all laughing as they're like spitting cherries at the other guests.
Oh my God.
And it's very funny. I don't know what they do that day. I wrote, can't remember what they do that day. But that night, they again go to someone's house who they had a problem with. Again, I don't remember who it is, but they go into the police station and James keeps watch, and they come out with the guy that they wanted with the bag on his head, and they throw him in the car, and they're like, James, this guy made you look like a fool. He must have been someone to do with his execution the first time. They're all doing the drugs again, inhaling the smoke, and they've got this guy with the bag over his head, like crying out for help in the middle of the room. And Gabby's going like, James, show him how strong you are. Show him how strong you are. And this is where Alexander Skarsgård, I mean, he looked so much like Stellan Skarsgård in this scene. I was like, is this Stellan? I can't tell. He looks so much like his dad. But he goes like, like he's like doing these animalistic, trying to be hyper masculine, show him how strong you are. And he's just punching this guy in the head over and over. And then he starts peeing on him. And then they all start peeing on him. And they're laughing and punching him and peeing on him. And Gabby's watching all this, looking so hot and horny and just like, yeah, James, do it, do it, do it. And she's looking a little like sneaky also. And as she's making completely unblinking eye contact with James, she leans down, pulls the bag off the head, and it's James. They went as a fun prank to go get another double made. And they're now all laughing at him as we're seeing this like bloody faced James that he's just beat the shit out of.
So they can just go make a double whenever they want to, I guess.
I think you just have to pay for it. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's okay. Basically like they have, I guess, your whatever DNA on file that they need. And they're so like, they can another just one, please. Print them.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my God.
James does get mad at this point.
Yeah.
And he storms off, and because he's like the butt of the joke here, he's embarrassed. Yeah. They're all laughing at him. And it's too far for him now. He leaves the room, and we just hear their laughter in the distance. And he reaches under the sink and he grabs out that passport that he's been hiding and gets on a bus the next morning to go home. Gabby and the others are in two convertibles and they drive.
Is that
up.
Double that they had? Alive still?
Yeah. I mean, we don't see what happens. He just like leaves.
If I'm him,
behind.
I'm like, I'm killing that double before I leave.
Yeah, that's a good point. Quite the loose end there.
A huge, huge loose end.
And but so they pull up alongside the bus in two convertibles, and Gabby has the gun. She shoots at the window of the bus. There's other passengers in this bus, like, to go to the airport. The bus, everyone screams, bus pulls over. This is Mia Goth at her most unhinged. She's screaming, "Jamesy! James!
Oh my God.
James!" It's so funny. And she's waving the gun around, and she's calling him a little baby. She's like, "Don't be a little baby, Jamesy. Come on out." And she basically says, "We just want James. He comes out, nobody else gets hurt." And he realizes, like, she'll do it. She'll, like, kill other people on the bus. So he comes out with his hands up, and we see that they make him walk in front of the convertible as they're driving back to the hotel. So they're driving really slow, and he's walking in front of it. Mia Goth is laying on the hood of the car with a bottle of wine and the gun. God. And she's just chugging wine and just completely humiliating him and saying all these awful things to him. She's laughing. She's saying, "You thought I read your book? Like, oh my God, I never read your stupid fucking book." And she has a printout of Amazon reviews of his book. She's like, "Your book sounds like shit." And she reads this review, like, scathing review of how talentless he is, how this book is, like, the dumbest book ever written. And she's laughing and laughing and laughing. She's like, "We didn't think your book was good. Like, I'm not reading this dumb book. We just, like, wanted someone to fuck with. And we thought we were going to have to make you commit a crime, but you're so fucking dumb that you did it yourself. We didn't have to make you do it." And they're just having a grand old time. And her wine rolls off the car, and she goes, oh no, my wine, and reaches for it. And he takes that moment to, like, go to try to snatch the gun, knocks her off the hood of the car. The other people jump out of the car and try to grab him. He doesn't get the gun, but he just takes the opportunity. He darts into the woods and just runs away. And she, Gabby, gets the gun back and is shooting into the woods. It does hit his leg. He gets a shot in the leg, but he keeps running, and eventually makes it to someone's house. It's this, like, woman and her daughter, and he just passes out right in front of their house, but they bring him in.
Oh no.
And so he wakes up, and we see the little 12-year-old boy that killed him the first time, like, watching him from behind a corner. And he slowly approaches him and puts his hands around his throat, starts strangling him. James starts strangling the little boy back, and then the little boy's head turns into M's head, and now we're like, okay, it's a dream sequence. And then we see the other six rich people in the masks, like, in the background, dancing and laughing. And then M is on top of James, also laughing at him, being like, "You're so embarrassing and pathetic." And M rips James in half, hot dog style.
No.
Love to see it. No. Absolutely love to see it.
No.
My favorite. And James wakes up. This is obviously a dream. And he's all bandaged up and not in great shape, but he goes to leave the place. I feel like nobody's there. He doesn't know what's happening. He's just trying to get out of there. And as he walks out, everyone is waiting outside with the convertibles. It's nighttime now. They've got the headlights shining at him. And they're like, "Jamesy, we missed you. Like, why'd you run away?" And he is looking so furious and scared and just not good. And they're like, "We have one final test for you, James. We just need you to kill this dog." And they bring out it's James on a leash on all fours that I don't know if they've like given him tons and tons of drugs, but the this version of James is not speaking and it's just going like,
oh my God.
And they give other James a knife and they're like, just kill the dog. James throws the knife into the woods, says, no, like I'm not fucking doing that. And Gabby's like, ooh, like you're gonna have wanted that knife, like it's for your own good. And the dog just charges at James and starts attacking him. And at this point, James snaps and fucking absolutely beats this other version of himself to death. Crushes his head, beats it to an absolute pulp. Okay. As Gabby is like smiling and cheering and being like, yay, James, you're so strong, James, you're so strong. And this is, I think, another part where the NC-17 cut was more graphic. Apparently we saw some eyeballs dangling out of skulls, which was cut out of the rated R version. I want to see those dangling eyeballs.
No. Oh my God.
No. But after this, James pulls his hand back, which is absolutely drenched in blood, just dripping blood off of it. And Gabby comes up and like very sensually rubs her hand in the blood on his hand. He looks completely defeated. He's like crying. She puts her arms around him and is comforting him. And then she takes her shirt back, exposing her breast, rubs the blood all over her boob, and he breastfeeds from her.
No.
Oh my God.
No. What is happening? What do you guys think Brandon Cronenberg's mom is like thinking in this moment?
She's like, I bet she's proud.
She's really proud.
I'd be proud. I mean, it'd be weird, but I'd be proud.
Oh my God. No, thanks.
And then we cut to the next morning. It's their last day and everyone's packing up, ready to go home. We see we see James putting three urns in his suitcase and they're on the bus on their way to the airport. Everyone is now dressed very differently. Mia Goth is in like a sweatshirt and like a low bun and looks like no makeup on. Like she's been dressed so glamorous this whole time and now just looks like, you know, airport clothes. Mm-hmm. And it's this very stark contrast of the night before. Everyone's like, did you remember to pay the gardener? Like I left the the envelope under the mat, like, but he emailed me and said that he didn't see it. And so they're talking very like normal things of their going back to their day-to-day life. And we just see James's face is so completely dumbstruck. And as he's just watching everyone return to normalcy, he looks forever changed.
Yeah.
And cannot return back to this same sense of normalcy that they can. He looks completely like a shell of himself. He doesn't speak to any of them, but they get to the airport all together and they all like hug him and he's barely like hugging him back. They're like, see you next year, James. And Gabby does the same, gives him a hug and is like, but it's like, so it's not a good hug. It's like the quickest hug. And she's like, yeah, see you next year. And they get on their flight and he's waiting at his terminal, still just looking so empty. Then we cut to him back. He takes, I think, a bus back to the resort and he now has these cuts on his face that I don't think he had before that we saw that the pee guy had.
Oh,
and
the one who was being peed on.
Yes. Wait, no. The one with the cuts, I think, is at the airport. And then we cut back to the resort and he's sitting there in the rain. This is intentionally ambiguous. It's unclear if there are two of him, one at the airport, one at the resort, or if he left the airport and went back to the resort. I'd have to do a rewatch and really take stock of these cuts and injuries.
Right, because the dog, like you would think that the dog is the pee one, but they could have made an entirely different
James.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's the end of the movie.
Oh, wow. My God. Well, oh my this God. Is one I can confidently say I have no interest in seeing. Absolutely
yeah,
none.
Yeah, I won't be watching, but I do want to read a bunch of articles about what people think about it, and I want to have conversations with people because, oh, my God.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. I liked that it had this similar theme to Possessor of just this kind of loss of humanity and like what makes us human. And he just looks like he's really feeling like, how can I ever go back to my life ever again? Did he send the clone in his place? Is he going to stay at the resort forever? Did he like it? Did he hate it? Did part of him like it? And that's why he's so mad. I think there's a lot of different reads of it. And I think that's what makes it interesting.
Wow.
And everyone is so good in it. Obviously, Mia Goth is unhinged. Absolutely incredible.
She's so unhinged. She is really doing a lot for horror movies these days.
She really is. And it's hard to say what her most unhinged performance is, but this one is like really sinister.
Yeah, so sinister. She's so evil in this.
Yeah, she's pretty nasty in it. Like, I feel like in Pearl is very unhinged, but there is a level of empathy you feel for the character. And yeah. I don't think you really feel that here at all.
No, none. I also, I knew they were like on vacation, but I kind of thought they were on vacation like permanently. I didn't realize that they're just going to go home. It felt like she like lived there. You know?
I think it is also a little ambiguous. Like the way that he creates worlds is kind of this, he loosely defines the world so that it feels, I think, unsettling because you don't really know what the rules of this world are. Because specifically that line in the beginning of James saying, "Where are we?" kind of threw me. Is he already a clone? Like, I think there are even more questions than I've thought of because it's so ambiguous at times.
Man.
Wow. Dark. Wild. Just really dark and sad.
Yeah.
Really dark and sad.
Oh, also somewhere in there at the airport, he like calls M and is like, "I'm coming home. Like, I'm so sorry. I miss you so much. I love you so much." And so,
oof. Yeah, I was going to ask if there was any resolution with that or she just left and like we never heard from her again.
A little bit. You like see him apologizing to her, but I would assume their relationship doesn't
stay the same.
Return to its former state.
Do we think he has something to write about? Probably. Is this going to cure his writer's block?
Perhaps. Oof. Oh, yeah. That's another part that I like about this, like, exploration of the, like, male fragility and ego. Like, there's a lot that it's trying to say about that and how easily he was manipulated just by someone giving him a fucking compliment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then being like, "You need to be strong." Be like, "Yeah, I fucking do. I do need to be strong. My wife does emasculate me."
Yeah. Yeah. And and that's, like, also something is, like, his sense of self is so weak to begin with that he's so... The being cloned is like, is he losing himself, or is there nothing of himself to lose to begin with? I think that's like kind of a scary thought of like, well,
that's really scary.
Because I've lived my life in a way that I'm like aligning myself with these people that I don't actually share anything in common with. Like, I think it's, you know, he married into being rich. But yeah, I don't know. I loved it. I thought it was great. Big Cronenberg fan. Both of the Cronenbergs. Love them.
Wow. Morning TSDW. That was a heavy one to do on a Monday morning.
Ooh, great way to start the week.
Great way to start the week. Feel really good. Can't wait to dive back into my normal life. We'll not think about this movie ever again.
Wow. Yeah. Wowie.
Sammy, thank you so much, per usual, for doing the Lord's work.
Yeah, we did it.
Yeah, it was very excited for this one. I'm glad that it came through, pulled through. What's the phrase I'm looking for there? Came through.
Yeah.
It lived up to my expectations. Mm-hmm. I look forward to more of his films. And of course, more of Mia's films. Oh, one of the trivias that I didn't tell you guys, and this is just rumored, so not confirmed, not that we care about facts being true.
Of course.
But apparently Robert Pattinson was offered the lead role in this and declined. Oh.
That would have, I could see that. But Alexander Skarsgård is more like menacing.
I think Skarsgård was the right choice.
He's the right choice. But I kind of think it's not true just because I feel like Robert Pattinson like wouldn't turn this down.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I feel like why would he do that?
Unless he was just like literally too busy.
I think, yeah, that's true. It could have been schedule conflict.
He's trying to get his pasta business up and running.
He would have been great on it too. But I think Skarsgård is the right call.
Ever since seeing Alexander Skarsgård in Big Little Lies as Nicole Kidman's abusive husband, he's just like that person to me now forever.
Scary. He's scary.
Yeah.
I think of him as like so sweet. I actually think he's probably a big dork. I have like the opposite.
Yeah, I think he's like so goofy.
He's so goofy. I have the complete opposite view of him in my brain. Like every interview I've seen with him, I'm like, oh my God, he's such a little dork. I love it.
I love him so much. I really think he's so special.
I think like to be in a movie like this, you have to not take yourself too seriously. Like there has to be a part of you that's like really willing to be so vulnerable and look so crazy and weird. Mm-hmm. And so I really respect it. I love him. I love them all. Mm.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Wow. Okay.
All right.
We
that
did
was
it.
Infinity Pool.
Should we do Mia Goth's voice?
Mia, what does she say? James, think of it as a new skin. I don't know why my British accent is like not very good anymore, but from all of us here at Too Scary Didn't Watch.
Goodbye.
Thank you, my friends, for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. If you had fun hanging with us, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at TSDW Podcast. And if you're interested in things like bonus episodes, video trailer reactions, and other cool content, head on over to patreon.com/TSDW Podcast. All right, we love you all forever and ever, starting a while ago and continuing into eternity. Adios.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.